B-Pod Studios.
Elger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, we got 10 questions with Bedard coming up a little bit later this hour. For now, I want to ask you about the offsides on the field goal on the very first drive. Real tone setter. Did the Ravens cheat on that one?
They might have been pushing the envelope a little bit, but it was really the long snapper just picking up his head, and it wasn't a big jerk backwards. You've seen that before, and the refs will call that. I think it was planned to be late in the play clock. But I thought they did a good job with it. Same with their pick play for the fourth down. I thought that was a totally legal play. If you're going to call that one, then you got to call the Sanu touchdown too. And I thought both were fine, legal, pushing the envelope, but legal. And so I thought they were all good.
So when Bill was MFing someone on the sideline, effing a-hole, you could hear him say, was he talking about A, John Harbaugh, B, the ref, C, Shalique Calhoun, or whoever he thought jumped off sides.
It was the ref.
It was his player.
That's what I think, too. I think it was Calhoun.
Yeah, you don't think the Patriots do that all the time? It's smart. If you've got a chip shot field goal, I'd have my center straddle that line every time. What's 5 yards of Justin Tucker down there?
Oh, yeah. The Patriots are great at those, you know, late line shifts
right.
to get him jump.
Yes. Yeah. The little, you know, special teams crap like that, dinking around with stuff like that. They're the masters of it. And Harbaugh's been around a long time, a special teams coach. Who do you think we're dealing with here?
I can't believe the Patriots fell for it.
So I can't guarantee you. Let me rephrase the whole thing. I would hope he's MFing his player. And not, you know, the Ravens for straddling a line, which, you know, you invented or you've mastered, or B, the ref, you know, on a borderline call. Would you please? It's on your player. Why are you jumping there anyway? You mentioned this yesterday, Maz. You think you're going to block Justin Tucker on a 27-yard field goal?
He does. The guy's the best kicker in the league, and not just because he nails everything, but the ball's high. It's not blockable. Like, what are you doing from that distance? What the hell are you going to accomplish?
So reading the transcript, it felt like Bill got a little whiny. But again, this is reading it. I haven't heard it. So maybe when I hear it, it'll be a whole different thing. Hopefully the sound's good enough. But here's Bill on that play yesterday.
Bill, what was your viewpoint on the action of the snapper, Morgan Cox, on the neutral zone infraction that they called on Shalique?
It doesn't matter what I think. It's the official's game to call.
Yeah. I just was watching it over, and, it looks like the ball has moved a little bit, and I was curious on his head coming up. I guess I'll go check the rule, but I mean, is that a close call in your, you know, is that a close call when you see that, or? I guess that's the question.
Poor Mike.
Dead air.
Well, I think you should talk to the officiating department and ask them exactly how they officiate the play, and then that'll be the right answer for you.
In terms of how you coach your guys in that situation, whether they try to draw them off or not, I mean, is there any rule there for the guy, for your player, that you ask him to follow in that situation?
Yeah, of course.
And what is that?
That's when we need to coach and execute the plays better.
Oh, it's just so like I got awkward chills.
My face is getting hot. I'm so uncomfortable.
It's just like, oh my
Seriously,
God.
Well, this is the problem with Bill, though. So you have to walk on eggshells because you feel like he's going to bite your head off for asking them, you know, any question about a Patriots screwing up a play. So is it, you know, Bill, did they bait you? Is your guy supposed to stay onside anyway? You can't ask him that because he starts snorting at you.
But at some point in there, so there was four questions and answers where Bill could have said, in so many words, our guy shouldn't have jumped. And he never did.
Correct.
He never did. And when he tacitly says, you know, it doesn't matter what I think, it's the officials' games to call, that's him saying, yeah, the center feigned the snap and it should have been on the offense and it wasn't on us, and go ask them. And that's what I would take out of it. He's not really taking any responsibility there. He's certainly not looking to. And I, you know, it's rare that he calls out an individual player. Like, I get all that. But if even reading between the lines, there's something he could have said in there that would lead you to believe that, no, you're not supposed to jump off sides.
Yeah, I just, again, it's like pulling teeth with him. This is what you have to do. And this is now over 20 years, so people are worn down over it. But it's like, you know, go ask the officials. See, I take that as, you know, don't ask me. I'm not telling you. Go ask the officials. You know, they're the ones that made the call. You know, no, Bill, we're asking you.
In terms of how you coach that situation, whether they try and draw you off or not, are there rules for your players to follow in that situation? Yeah, of course, said Bill. So what is that? To coach and execute the plays better. Like, so, I mean, it feels to me like he's blaming the ref on that.
He absolutely is blaming the ref. And, but here's the thing. Like you said, he should just say, it doesn't matter. Like, we should not, the Patriots won that play. They won that. They were in the red zone. They held them to a field goal.
Yes,
again.
They won that possession ultimately. Yep. Yes, right.
They won there.
Right.
And
it killed them.
You cannot go offsides there. You cannot.
You can't. No matter whether the other side's cheating, whether the ref is incompetent, you have to take all those things into account. They're going to try and bait you with a borderline head bob. The refs are incompetent. You don't move.
Yeah, to me, that one's on the Patriots.
Come on.
You know, you can't jump there on a 22-yard field goal.
Meanwhile, who do you think Bill blamed on the Brady interception? I want to hear this one, too. Again, this sounded fun on the transcript. That actually lived up to how fun it sounded on the transcript. Awkward. Ooh, awkward. Oh, God, do I not miss that. Whew. Wow. That is just tough. Damn. How about the interception? Go ahead, Jimmy.
I guess I'll go to another one of Tom's throws, the interception. What happened on that play? Kind of, do you have a sense of what he was seeing and why he threw that one?
Yeah, I didn't really talk to Tom about that after the game.
Hold on, now he's in the car.
Yeah.
I think, was he doing this conference call on his walking down to the car, and now he's in the car with the window rolled down?
Feels like he's even going through a tunnel.
So he continued this in the car wash.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Here's Bill from the car wash.
Yeah, I didn't really talk to Tom about that after the game. Or after the play, so, you know, we kind of moved on, and you know, we'll talk about that, you know, when he comes in.
Okay, at least from your perspective, then, can you share what you kind of saw, or what you think they saw?
Yeah. I mean, did you ask him about it after the game?
I wasn't able to, unfortunately.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't really talk to him about that play either. So
Bill and Brady haven't talked about that play. Just there's just some Belichick awkwardness on that conference call.
Well, the other thing is, as soon as you say, "Well, did you ask him about it?" Right? Like, it's almost like, "Don't ask me, ask him. He's the one that effed up." So,
I mean, did you ask him about it after the game?
I wasn't able to, unfortunately.
I love when Bill asks the reporters a question.
Like I said, I didn't really talk to him about that play either. So, since
Bill answers that way, I'm led to give you what I think. I think Bill's blaming Brady for that throw.
Yeah, I don't blame
him. Go ask him.
I don't blame him for blaming Brady.
And I know what you're saying, Greg. I think Sanu was, you know...
He stopped running.
Yeah, I agree.
He stopped running.
When Brady let go of the ball, Sanu was going up the field. He was. He was going vertical, and he stopped. I agree totally. But even if Sanu had kept running... The best you're getting there is a jump ball with the safety facing the play. It was still a chuck and duck, 3rd and 10. This game is over. Let it fly sort of play, which I've seen from Brady in these losses in the past.
Yeah, but he also had two guys coming bearing down on him. I didn't notice anybody else really open. They brought Sanu here for a reason. Apparently he had this great game the other night. Just throw it up to him. Maybe he makes a play. That's why you have these guys. If he's a difference maker, you throw it up, he makes the play.
Safety's looking right at him. Brady's
exactly.
Up there.
But the guy's also 5'9".
Yeah, no. Listen, I'm not.
Earl Thomas is past his prime. It was Mohamed Sanu supposedly going with a full head of steep, but he stopped against Earl Thomas. I'll take my chances with Sanu if he's this great player.
So Bill, in so many words, in his own fashion through the snot rockets, could have indicated that a little bit. Could have indicated that a little bit there.
Could have.
I think his answer is sort of like the field goal thing. Go ask the ref, meaning it's the ref's call, and he effed it up. And go ask Tom. I didn't tell him to throw that ball.
See, this is where he loses me. And again, look, it's all part and parcel to being Bill. Like it is. So, you know, but because after a loss, he's insufferable. And I get it. He's a competitive guy. I get all of that. But even include this stuff with Tara Sullivan on Sunday night when he's snorting at her for crying out loud.
Did you see the game?
Yeah. Well, did you watch it? Yeah, I watched it. There were a million things you did wrong. Can you share that?
Do you have that, Jimmy, really quick? Just really quick, because I want to ask Greg, because I, you know, even through his snark, I still don't know what was so obvious. You know, she asks him, you know, Bill, you keep saying that you need to coach it better, coach it better. Is there anything specifically that you need to coach better? And he says,
well, you're always willing to take the, you know, say coach better after any loss, or if you just point out a performance. Is there something specific that you felt you didn't have the team prepared for?
What's obvious? I mean, did you see the game tonight?
Okay, so what's obvious? What specific thing that did he need to prepare them for that he didn't prepare them for? What was so obvious? Because I think they did like four or five different things wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what he's referring to. If I had to guess, it was just, you know, some of the Veer stuff that they were doing. They weren't quite prepared for it, and they had a tough time with it.
Okay, but you had to guess. It's not like it's, you know, the guy misses a field goal. He said, what happened on that kick? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Like that I get. In that game, they gave up 11 first downs rushing. They gave up 11 first downs passing. They gave up a couple big passing plays. They gave up a bunch of big running plays.
Inside and outside.
They committed a bunch of penalties. They turned the ball over. So what's so obvious? Like what specific thing?
I think what's obvious or what he's referring to is they just got outplayed. They got outcoached. They got outplayed in every phase
of
the game.
She asked specifically, and he sort of answered like, well, it's obvious. No, it's not obvious to me. I don't know. So we're just sort of adding that all together.
Right.
The J-O-B, the joy of Bill after a loss. And boy, do I not miss those conference calls.
Oh my God, seriously again.
Where's Tucker? We keep threatening to throw him on there. We got to get Tucker on that. Ask questions for us.
I think we should put Tristan on there.
Is that our new intern?
That's our new Tristan.
Put that kid on that thing.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, hi, this is Tristan. I'm calling for Felga.
He wants to know why Shaquille, I'm sorry, Shalik jumped off sides on that field goal.
Yeah, hi, Bill. My name's Tristan. I go to Emerson. I work for Felga. Told me to call and ask why you're being such an asshole.
10 questions around the league and here in New England with Bedard right after these words.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions in 10 minutes. Have you looked them over, Bedard?
Yes.
It's like the SAT, Greg. There's a time limit.
Do you have your answers ready, most importantly?
Yes,
do you have them written down? Are you going to remember them?
Buzzers, please, Jimmy.
I didn't like these questions, Felger.
Buzzers. Go.
And kill Harry.
Him, go.
This kid is going to get hurt before he gets to crap himself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Zero. Zippo. None. Jack. Squat. Nada. Bagel. Donut.
Okay. Next. Won't you save me, San Francisco?
Oh, God, Ben, burn that one.
The prediction is we're going to show up on Monday and say, boy, does Lamar Jackson suck. You know what? I still say that. What? Next.
Probably the most exciting Patriots game we've had since week one.
No, I think you're going to have the grit and ball Celtics back. one of the worst when hosts aren't listening in the history of the program, which is saying something. Go, number 10.
Probably the most exciting Patriots game we've had since week one.
No, I think you're going to have the grit and ball Celtics back.
Oh, God.
Burn that one, too. Number 10, which of the following losses by the top contenders this weekend is the surest sign of things to come? You got to pick one. The Pats lost to the Ravens. The Packers lost to the Chargers. Indy's lost to the Steelers, or Minnesota's lost to the Chiefs.
The Vikings lost to the Chiefs. That was a game they should have had. They go on the road. If you're a contender against a team that's undermanned, they don't have a lot of their best players, and you get the ball. You have a 23-20 lead. Game last six plays, they totaled minus 7 yards. I mean, that's just, and it's because of the quarterback. He's so soft.
Horrible defense still.
So my answer is also Minnesota, unless Brissett is out. If Brissett's out, it's Indianapolis. The Colts will be in trouble.
Doesn't matter if Brissett is out. It's Indianapolis to Pittsburgh. They had a ton of penalties, bad turnovers. Vinatieri's done. Their offense doesn't have enough weapons. It's T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack. Colts aren't a threat. They're not even going to make the playoffs.
So I don't know if Green Bay's the answer to that question, but wow, was that a bad one? Did you hear Aaron Rodgers after the game?
Yeah.
I didn't realize this.
Yeah, apparently everyone got hammered.
He basically called out his team for getting hammered before the game. He says, we've got to be honest with our routine and the decisions that we made in the last 48 hours. And make sure that our head is in the right place the next time we come on a big road trip. Four of their next six are on the road. He says, I don't think it was complacency at all. I just think whether it was the trip, not everybody taking care of themselves the right way over the 2 days, or we were just tired, or the difference is blah, blah, blah. He called, they went out, and he called him out for it.
L.A. Yeah, young guys like to party.
Next. Won't you save me, San Francisco?
Oh, boy.
Those are tough. You've now exhausted those, Jimmy. We've played those two plenty. Number nine, I ask this every year. I mean, I feel like I ask this every question. Every other year, who should be the coach of the New York Jets?
Not Adam Gase, that's for sure. That guy sucks. He blows. I want Harbaugh from Michigan. I want him back in the NFL. He's too far gone. We need him back.
I mean, I always say Harbaugh, but since he did, I say Nick Saban. One of those two. You got to get a good coach there.
The crown jewel of potential coaching hires is Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. He's the best offensive mind in college football. You need to save Sam Darnold. Get him here to save the quarterback.
I don't trust a college coach. If not Harbaugh, if not Saban, I'm bringing Tom Coughlin back to New York.
Ooh, good one.
And giving Tom Coughlin the keys to the franchise. Thank you. And if he wants to pick the next coach, he can pick the next coach. But Coughlin runs the football department, and that's what I do. If I can't get Harbaugh to do it.
I love Coughlin.
Next.
Zero, zippo, none, jack, squat, nada, bagel, donut.
Number eight, according to a report over the weekend, the idea of moving the Chargers, to London has been broached in league circles. The Chargers are obviously having trouble doing business in L.A., and the thought of moving them to London has been brought up. Here's the question, and Hardy, you can kiss my ass. Take out Jacksonville. You're not allowed to answer Jacksonville. If there has to be a team in London, who should it be? Give me three options other than the Jaguars. Who should be in London?
Chargers, Panthers, Titans.
Ooh, I didn't go with those.
Yeah, me neither.
Tampa, Arizona, Atlanta. Bye, bye, bye.
No team should be in London, but in the interest of playing along, Bengals, Bucks, Jets.
Okay, so.
Ooh, Bengals were a good one, too.
No shot on the Bengals. No shot on the Jets. You're not going to get a team out of New York.
There's two teams there. At least one should leave.
No. Tampa is definitely on the table.
Oh, that market sucks.
And I think that the Chargers are another one. If it is the Chargers, does that change the equation with Brady going to the Chargers? Does that make it a more appealing destination for Brady or less appealing?
More.
Oh, it might be more. G would love London.
She would love it, and global, baby.
Expand the international brand of TB12.
Wouldn't that be a great business opportunity for Brady?
No question.
I don't know if he wants to be that far away from his family, his dad, his mom. I don't know if that's doable.
I mean, that's fair, but move
him
up.
Mom with her health issues in the past few years.
I get it. Okay. Anyway, next.
This kid is going to get hurt before he gets to crap himself.
Number seven. Please redraft the 2018 NFL draft. Top five picks in order, please. Redrafting that draft.
Quentin Nelson.
Number one, Quentin Nelson, the guard from Indy.
Good choice.
Yep. Number two.
Darius Leonard. The linebacker from Indy that the Patriots could have had.
Holy crap, they crushed that draft, huh? Keep going.
Saquon Barkley.
Three is still Barkley, idiot. Oh, dumb. Next.
Derwin James, Chargers safety.
Okay.
And Bradley Chubb, the Broncos end.
Okay.
Hey, you fired up.
What's up?
Two backs in the top five. You got to hate that.
So no.
How's it going?
No, that's not. That's the brother.
Right, the defensive end.
Yeah, sorry. Defensive end. No Baker Mayfield.
Nope.
No Lamar Jackson.
No.
Okay. Yet. So you're taking Bradley Chubb, Derwin James, and Saquon Barkley over Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
Okay. You?
I'm still going Mayfield, Darnold. I know Barkley was in there in the original draft. I'm taking the quarterbacks. I think both those guys can play. If they had coaching, they'd be better. Denzel Ward, the cornerback in Cleveland, I think he's a stud. I love that kid. Roquan Smith, the linebacker with the Bears, and Jackson fifth. I'm intrigued by Jackson. I know he's not your prototype, but he's a different kind of player.
Don't have Quentin Nelson on there?
I don't. He's a guard.
Screw these quarterbacks. I'm going based on pure talent alone. It's Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard. Denzel Ward, Derwin James, Leighton Vander Esch.
Okay.
Hey, like, Quentin, like what's up, man?
If the quarterback can play, you got to put him on there somewhere. Next.
Hey, you fired up.
What's up?
Hey, Quentin.
The prediction is we're going to show up on Monday and say, boy, does Lamar Jackson suck. Number six, speaking of the draft, what is the Patriots' number one need at next year's draft?
Playmaker at tight end.
That's it?
That's it.
O-line. O-line. And I'm not giving you anything more specific because I need to see what win is. Is win a guard or is win a tackle? Because Tooney's a free agent, right?
I originally had that. I was going to say best available offensive
Too
lineman.
Late.
I don't care what position he is, but they could definitely use one higher.
Offensive lineman. They need an offensive lineman.
I'm with Maz on this offensive line.
Next.
They need a quarterback.
Excellent.
Won't you save me, San Francisco?
Speaking of which, they had one, but Jimmy, you're right. Quarterback is the number one need. Number five, it's the bye week midpoint tool bag edition. Who has been the biggest Patriots tool bag of the first half? Please give me two names, one and two, because I think one's kind of obvious.
Go ahead, Mass.
Antonio Brown.
Number one.
Yeah.
So give me a two.
Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead.
Oh, you're skipping entirely?
No, go ahead.
Brady.
No, don't be afraid. It's Brady for the whining and the nonstop comments and likes on Antonio Brown's Instagram page. And the other one is Bill for signing that puke Antonio Brown in the first place.
It's Brady.
I'm not answering this question.
I think only because I had a hard time coming up with anyone else.
But, Dard, why don't you just go Antonio Brown, Michael Bennett, and you're not in the locker room, and there you go.
I like Michael Bennett.
Me too.
Oh, please. The guy's a tool bag.
I went Antonio Brown and Brady. I just think Brady has been a little bit too whiny.
Brown, Bennett, easy. Easy answers. Next.
Probably the most exciting Patriots game we've had since week one.
No, I think you're going to have the grit and ball Celtics back. Okay, number four. You've now been on the beat for, about a month with the Las Vegas Review Journal, covering the main NFL writer for the Las Vegas Raiders, if you can believe it. Bedard, who still lives in the Boston area, runs the Boston Sports Journal, and he comes in here.
An NFL writer, Felger. Okay, can you get it right?
The NFL writer for the Las Vegas.
Just like an SI, I lived here too.
Fine. You've been on that beat for about a month. What makes you think the Raiders will work in Las Vegas? You got any indication for us?
Number one, you've seen the Golden Knights. I mean, it's been ridiculous. The PSLs are already sold out. The place is going bananas for it. And
they've sold out the PSLs.
Yeah, they've sold out the PSLs. And the growth there in Las Vegas is just unbelievable. When I was just out there, they are building homes after homes. They just announced there's going to be a high-speed train between L.A. and Las Vegas, where it's only 90 minutes.
Nice. Oh, is that necessary? Is that needed? That's awesome. I love trains. Go.
Oh, I thought you were looking for just Greg. I'm not covering Vegas.
No, that's right. No one else needs to answer that. Right. Next. My bad. Sorry.
Zero. Zippo. None. Jack. Squat. Nada. Bagel. Donut.
Number three, are you buying or selling on the Niners coming out of the NFC, Greg?
I am buying if their offensive line stays healthy, like Staley. They can't do it if they have to go to a bunch of backups. But I think they're terrific. I mean, watching them on film, I mean, they're great. They're fast. They're physical. They have playmakers. Shanahan can scheme it up with anybody. I think they're really, really good.
I'm buying. Shocker. I know. I think they're legit. I think they're good all the way around. They got, a good enough quarterback. They got a good running game. Their line's good. Their defense is good. The coach is solid, I think. I think their special teams are good. I think they're legit.
Have to ask?
No, I don't have to ask. Murray, next.
This kid is going to get hurt before he gets to crap himself.
Thank you. Number Thank two. You. Who is the most entertaining quarterback you've ever watched? I'm not telling you. He doesn't even have to be good. But just name a guy you just loved watching play when you were a kid or even now, the most entertaining quarterback you ever watched.
My guy, Dan Marino. I just loved to watch him play. He could nobody threw it better than Dan Marino.
So I thought he was going to say Vic.
I almost did.
I go Randall Cunningham. I thought Cunningham was fun to watch, man. And he could whip it. Like, he was made of rubber bands, for crying out loud. I loved watching Cunningham.
Yeah, so I'm old enough to remember Randall Cunningham, and he was ahead of his time in terms of the mobility when he was with the Eagles, and they went to the Vikings just flicking bombs to Moss. I loved him.
Do you want a weird one? Jim Zorn.
Oh, not bad.
I loved in the 70s, left-handed.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks in those days were like trick plays and like sling it all over the place. Like
Chuck Knox, right?
No, it was Chuck Patera was the name. And they had like always run like fake field goals and fake special teams plays and trick plays. And Zorn was goofy left-handed quarterback. I used to love watching Jim Zorn.
I'll add one more. I loved watching Flutie play. He was a ton of fun to watch play.
I hated Flutie.
I hated the BC thing. I'm with you. It's hard to like because of that. I did like him running around with the New Jersey Devils, though. Generals. Excuse me, the New Jersey Generals. I did. Finally, last one. Go.
Won't you save me, San Francisco?
Number one, league MVP at the midway point. Top three in order, please, Bedard.
Wilson, Jackson, Watson.
Lamar Jackson, number two.
Yep.
I went Russell Wilson, Christian McCaffrey, and Nick Bosa.
Ooh.
I tried to be fair there. I tried to pick something different, and Bosa's been awesome
just
for the Niners.
Try to crowbar a Niner in there. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey.
There you go. 10 questions in the books. Your phones, back to them, I promise, right after Murray's update.
Probably the most exciting Patriots game we've had since week one.
No, I think you're going to have the grit and ball Celtics back.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How long does a loss like this eat at you? Are you over it today? Does it bother you next week? Will it bother you in 3 weeks? How would you describe how long that process internally takes?
Well, we all hate losing. That's sports. But there's nothing we can do about it at this point, too. So the emotion of the game, you know, it stings right after, and then you move on from it. So, you know, I've just been kind of watching a bunch of things today and trying to figure out what I need to do better. And then, you know, we're going to try to take that and move that forward as we move on to our bye week and then into the following week against the Eagles.
Some more Brady with Jim Gray. As promised, right back to your phone. So you've been waiting patiently. Thank you for doing so. Steve in Portland, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. The past couple of weeks, I noticed when Brady throws that quick out pass when the corner plays off, he'll throw it like 2 feet ahead of the wide receiver, kind of like telling them to take that jab step to back the corner off. So my question is, do you think Brady will purposely miss the, you know, throw in a different spot where the receiver's supposed to be? You know what I mean?
So like just to prove a point?
Yeah. Kind of like scold them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. You're supposed to be back here. I don't know. I mean, Greg, did you ever see that?
Yeah. I don't know if it's to prove a point, but Brady's going to throw it where he thinks it needs to be thrown. And I think there were even plays, especially early in this game, there was one in particular, and I forget what the specifics were, but he wasn't happy with Mohamed Sanu. Like, he thought that Sanu should have been in a different spot, and he got hit on the play, and he all of a sudden popped up and yelled, but then I think he realized it was Sanu and was like, guy's been here 10 days. I can't get too mad at him. But there's a lot of that, you know, going on. And, you know, I think that Brady's continues to be a little bit frustrated with, you know, what's going on. I mean, I do think the previous two games, I thought he was much better. I thought he was playing excellent football. This game, I thought he was okay. You know, but I think he's going to have to play lights out. If the defense doesn't keep the opponent to in the teens, he's going to have to play really well for this offense to keep pace.
Eddie and Revere, your thoughts.
Yeah, Mike, I'm with you as far as where's Jacoby Myers? I mean, he hardly dropped any balls when Tom threw it his way. What the hell has happened to him?
Okay, so Greg, and thanks, Eddie, for hanging on in the question. Myers and Dorsett, and you've been big on Dorsett's done everything they've asked him to do. He's done it well, et cetera, and they still sort of ignore him. So those two guys, are those two guys, their lack of involvement or touches on them or on Brady?
I think it's on Brady and McDaniels. Like, I think they went into this game knowing that it was going to be a really tough opponent and it was going to be a close game, that they basically said, Brady, I don't know if it was Brady or him and Josh came together and said, I want to go to war with these guys and these guys only. I don't want any guys that really don't know what they're doing, except for Sanu, because, you know, we just got him. One question that I would have, or one quibble with the attack in this game that I would ask McDaniels is, you know, why not use Dorsett more in motion? It would seem to, if you gave him a little bit more room to run off the line of scrimmage, that he could bust a big play. But in this game, they just left him on the outside, and, you know, that's pretty easy to defend.
Rocco's in Saugus. He's up next. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, check this out, right? Listen. That defense is not made for a mobility quarterback. I mean, even like recent history, last year, Trubisky gave him trouble. So my money is, if they played the Buffalo Bills all Ravens again. They'll lose in the playoffs, man. They're meant to play somebody like the Chiefs, Chargers, and Houston, man. But anyway, listen, the way they played, the Ravens played the defense on Brady, they clogged everything inside. They forced Brady to throw outside. And if you're going to keep doing that, man, basically defense win. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Rocco, on your first thing, God help us if they lose to the Bills in the playoffs.
Would they won't please? Lose to the okay, Bills.
Stop it. But are they? Is their defense built to stop the pass? I mean, their corners are terrific. And with all their amoeba pass rushes and zero blitzing, all that stuff they do up front, they have a really tough pass defense. And is that at the expense of the run defense? Can you run on that team? It's like the third time I've asked you, but I'll try it again.
You can run a little bit on this team. I mean, you know, you can. I mean, I think it starts, you know, up front that they don't have many guys. And I think Lawrence Guy and Danny Shelton, they got worn down a little bit in this game because they were on the field a lot for big guys. You know, I had this thought. They do have a great secondary. And I think the strength of the defense is in the secondary, how well they cover. But did they even get a chance to do that in this game?
No, a little Hollywood Brown and that was it. Very little.
A little crossing route here and there. So you Baltimore know, pop smart. Pass. Yeah.
Tight ends and backs.
The difference with this plan. Ravens, yeah, they were really smart in this game. Greg Roman's really good. He's going to be a head coach next year, and Harbaugh's going to have to start over at offensive coordinator.
I think the Patriots linebackers are good, too. I think it's about their back seven, not their front seven.
Mike is in Quincy. He's up next with Felger Maz and Greg Bedard. Hi, Michael.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Good. What do you got?
The Patriots are 8-1, and now all of a sudden the roof is on fire. It's like, oh, my God. So, in the end, it's all going to lead back to February. Pants off, dance off, Patriots in the end, per usual. So,
okay, Mike, good call. Good insight there. Thank you. Don't be a stranger.
I mean, look, I understand if some of the fans feel that way, but you also have to acknowledge this is the first real game that they had. And the other team was better, much better. Now, you know, I am of the mind that it was because of the bye week and they had time to prepare and they were rested and the Patriots weren't and they're having injury issues. I think that's more of it. But you have to acknowledge that in their first real game of the season, they weren't as competitive as they should have been.
I mean, they don't lose that way often.
No.
I looked it up yesterday, 17 points or more. They've lost 15 games like that during the Belichick era. 11 of them have come in years where they didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Of course, they had the Titans game.
I just can't believe they lost to that kind of offense. Like, I just thought they'd be able to handle that offense easily. The pistol.
So that's
formation.
Another one. Like, he just said, right, last year Tennessee was one of those games. What's their offense like? Like, so I am willing to, the roof isn't on fire. I get pissed off at calls like that.
Don't.
Like, you know, nobody said.
No, that was an excellent call with a lot of insight there.
Nobody said the roof is on fire. But there are three games now where they've been run on. I mean, Buffalo, Cleveland, Baltimore. They were run on in all three games. So, but I think Bill looked at the landscape in the conference and did what we all did and said, the conference blows. I got to watch out for Kansas City. So I've got to make sure we can cover and we'll see where we go from there. And they left themselves susceptible to the run a little bit.
Long commercial free segment. Greg's finale as well. You want to get in with the hardcore football question for the big fella. It's your last chance right after this.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
When you're frustrated and when you're angry, what's the biggest mental challenge that you face as you go through a long season?
Well, I think it's just, for all of us, it's not losing confidence in each other and not losing trust. And I think that's a big part of it, is just to, you know, sometimes when the outcome isn't the way you want, doubt creeps into your mind. I think you have to return to what the process of winning is.
That was more from Brady there with his interview with Jim Gray. Wrap it up with your phone calls here with Greg Bedard. We've got Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul. Paulie! Okay, babe, you got to turn down your radio, your TV, or whatever. You can call us back. You know the number. Steven Dorchester. Yes, Steven.
How are you doing? I have a question. Do you think the Patriots need a superstar on offense?
Do they need...
you mean other than the quarterback?
Comment line says needs better wideouts. Do the Patriots need better wideouts, Greg?
Yeah, I think they just need... They need better in... You know, who knows? Maybe Lacoste is an above-average tight end. I don't know, but... They need better, and they need more speed. I mean, I just think they are a slow prodding offense at this point in time, and it starts with you know, in offensive line because of injuries has taken a step back athletically. And then, you know, as far as the team, outside of Edelman, no one, you're not really scared of anybody. And so I think that's a problem.
I still say it's the line. I'm sorry. I think the biggest issue is the offensive line play. And that if the offensive line play gets better and they can run the ball a little more effectively, they can then start play action. N'Keal Harry may help. I like the idea
hopefully.
Of a big, yeah. I like the idea of a big target in the red zone.
How does Brady feel about him?
They have to incorporate him. They have to find a way. I mean, they are going to need him. It's either that or put Matthew Slater out there to run his post. I mean, I'd rather have Harry. What, he can't run a few slants like Gordon did when he first got here?
Don't yell at me. Yell at your quarterback.
So the comment, the comment we just played with him talking to Jim Gray, he says the challenge is losing confidence
and trust. Yeah, right.
Okay, well, it feels to me like Brady didn't have confidence in the offense from the very start.
No question. Like, I mean, because when Brady says that, it's like no one's going to lose faith or confidence or trust in him. He's talking about himself and his other players. He's
absolutely.
Talking about the guys around him. No one's talking, you know, Philip Dorsett's not going to lose trust or faith in Tom Brady. It's the other way around.
Although those were interesting comments earlier in the year from guys like, was it Myers and Olszewski at the time saying, like, you know, they're worried that if they make a mistake. That
we didn't drop this one. If I drop this one, I'll never get another chance.
Exactly. So, you know, you don't lose confidence in the player that Brady is. But you lose confidence in him believing in you, if that makes sense. Like, you start to doubt yourself. I don't think Brady understands the ramifications of his actions on other players, particularly young ones, when he doesn't show confidence in them. It hurts those guys.
Okay, let's grab Mike in the truck. You're up next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Badass, how you doing? So, Brady's heralded as this big chess master amongst checker players in the NFL coaching realm. How did he let that squishy-faced snot beat him and outsmart him Sunday night?
Who's he referring to? Roman?
I have no idea who he's talking about.
Maybe Roman? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look. Greg Roman is an excellent offensive coordinator. He is now 3-3 against the Patriots. You know, and he coached in Buffalo, and he still beat him. So he is very talented. He had a whole extra week to prepare.
Well, you are letting the defense off the hook in this ballgame. You really have
a little bit.
You have all day.
I'm sorry. I think it's a great defense. I didn't mind who they didn't play in the first 8 weeks. I think it's a great defense. I think that a really good offensive coordinator with a lot of talent got one over on the Patriots. And I think if they had a rematch, partly thanks to that sideline photo that the Ravens took after the game that I can't believe that they did, I like the Patriots in a rematch.
Okay, so I liked them the other night. But just to the caller's point, what he's saying is how could Belichick get outsmarted by a college offense?
Well, here's the thing, okay? You can call it a college offense, but you're under the gun anyways preparing for this team just because it's unusual. I mean, it's highly unusual to go against this type of athlete, this type of offense, and then the other team has an extra week to prepare. I mean, it adds up. It's not a college offense. It's a good offense, and they have guys that you have to worry about. I mean, guys who are Hollywood Brown is fast. The running back, Ingram's fast. You know, their backup running back is fast. Their tight ends are good. And there's a lot to, and their offensive line is terrific, and they are huge. And
their offensive line is good. That'll give you. So, look, maybe you can help explain something to me, because I don't have enough appreciation for this. But some of the movement that they have on offense, did that confuse the Patriots in terms
yes.
of... Yes.
Yeah,
even in the run game.
Even in the run game. Like, you know, there were times, you know, like I talked about earlier, where all of a sudden the fullback comes in motion and he sets the strong side of the formation. And normally the Patriots would shift to that side, but like half the guys would shift, half wouldn't. And I think that exposed some things and just... they were just mental mistakes, stuff that they weren't ready for, that next time around they'll be ready.
What's the big deal with them taking a team picture?
It's like the Texans Letterman jacket
it
thing.
It is?
I think so. You don't think they play the Ravens, that's not going to be up in all the Patriots stalls?
Oh, the Patriots put everything up on their stalls. Like those babies, like it's all like the rabbit-eared Patriots. Well, all they do is turn like, oh, you hear what they said about you? Oh, yeah. Like, that's all they do. Like, that doesn't mean anything. I could blow a fart in the hallway and they'll put up in their locker stall. Like, oh, did you see what Felger did? Like, that's all they do. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Of course, that's what the Patriots do.
But don't you think the Ravens, I mean, take a team photo after a regular season game?
You hear what he said? You hear what he said? Oh, he said this. He said that. Oh, can you believe he said that? That's the whole Patriots experience. That doesn't mean anything. Were the Ravens out of line for taking a team picture after the game?
I think so. For a regular season win, what'd you accomplish? You know, what? You're going to put up a Colts banner? Yeah, we beat the Patriots in the regular season. Come beat them in Foxborough. Then you can celebrate.
I think we should do a team show picture.
My God.
Bedard, you're out.
It's like, that's all the Patriots do.
You hear what they said?
Oh, God, come on. You would rip so many teams for that.
Boring.
If the Red
if
Sox
the Pats
were,
did it, you'd be all
oh,
over
my God. You'd be all
would,
over them.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, you would.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no. Oh, you mean like, I don't know, beating 8 suckbag teams and then nicknaming your defense?
Well, okay. That's fair. That is fair.
I don't know. Is that on someone's bulletin board? Is that in someone's stall?
The boogeyman.
But if the Patriots did that against some team and took a team picture, you would have been all over their
They're
case.
All taking team picture. Yes, I don't like any of it. You're right. I don't like any of it. But to say that the Patriots will use that, they use everything. My God, it's like every single NFL Network special is
but the point
clip
is,
after clip. Oh, you hear what he said? You hear what he said? Oh, he said this? He said that? Can you believe he said that?
But it's the like point this, is,
it's the same crap.
The feeling of a accomplishment before you really do anything. It's a regular season victory. Who cares? You know, win a postseason game, then you can take all the pictures you want.
Patriots don't use everything. They don't use the tight end very well.
Oh my God, the bulletin board material. Like, talk about a story that has played out and you can do on your own time.
Oh, you believe he said, oh, they haven't faced us yet.
Like, who is that what the Raven guy said last week? You know, about the Patriots Stevens?
Yeah.
Who said that? Was it one of the tight ends?
Yeah, it was Boyle.
He's a good
Boyle,
tight end. Yeah.
The guy who scored a touchdown.
But they haven't faced us. Everyone around here like, you hear what he said?
And then he was right.
Oh, my God. Like, who cares? Jesus, get a different.
No, you're right about that.
Can we write a different storyline or a different script other than that? Like, Jesus, it's all anyone does.
The boogeyman.
It's preposterous.
Boo.
Thanks for coming in, big boy.
All right.
Little late as usual, but that's okay.
Oh, shut up.
So.
I'm waiting for that Felger and Mads go to Vegas trip with Bedard.
I like that. Yes, on the bullet train from L.A. I'm all in with that. Coming up next, we have to hit on some things that we've left to the side here. J.D. Martinez opts in for the Red Sox. Thoughts on that, ramifications for that with the Red Sox. And while we're doing that, we'll give you a quick Celtics minute, a quick Bruins minute. So we'll do that all after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.